And now, the Goldbergs. And now, the Goldbergs. It was with great happiness in her heart that Molly saw Sammy go off on a picnic with Sylvia and Dr. Tater. The emotional tangle in which Sammy and Sylvia find themselves is now in the capable hands of Christopher Tater's psychologist. The aim of the treatment is to free Sammy from Sylvia and Sylvia from Sammy. And we discovered that Dr. Tater may have succeeded too well, for Sylvia announced yesterday over the lunch basket that she was in love with the doctor. Meanwhile, a long summer afternoon is dragged on and away, and the Goldberg family sitting down to dinner.
Jake? Jake? Close it down. Did you call Papa?
Mm-hmm.
So come down. Sit down the table. Did you tell Miss Allison to stop his standing?
I'll call him.
Are you worried? Why should I worry?
Because Sammy isn't back yet.
Oh, I'm not worried.
I'd like to know what they're talking about on that picnic.
What they have to talk about.
Can't be much of a picnic for Sam.
Whatever it is, it's going to be good for him.
It's very naive, Mom.
Huh?
Yes, it is very naive.
Hey.
I mean, you're too trusting, Mom.
Too trusting? How, Rosalind?
Yes, he's warm. Dr. Tater is no magician.
I'm not trusting him because he's a magician.
I mean, if Sam and Sylvia want to feel the way they do, no one can stop them.
Dr. Tater can.
That's childish.
Again, something.
I didn't mean anything. I mean, but you're like a lot of people who don't know anything about a subject, and you have too much faith in those who say they do.
Oh.
Mama, darling.
What?
Now you're angry.
Oh, I'm not angry.
I only meant more that you didn't expect too much.
Say?
Say.
Miss Allison coming down?
No. He's got a splitting headache.
Oh, my. Splitting headache? And does he want something?
No. What time do you think Sylvia and Sammy will be home?
Momentarily.
You said momentarily at 5 o'clock.
The sun don't settle till late lately, so they're staying out until dark, I suppose.
I suppose.
Don't get nervous, Alex. Why should you be nervous? You'll wait for Allison before we eat.
All right. Here's my envelope, Molly.
Yes, yes.
Fill it out what you want to do with the money this week and give me the rest.
All right.
I want to go down to the bank early tomorrow to get a defense down.
Oh. Well, this week I thought I would buy some curtain goods because the bedroom windows look very musty.
Is that very important?
Leave
it. It's too late.
Then we'll wait for the shingling of the barn also, then?
Listen, Molly. Why do we want to put a new roof on the barn?
To protect what's inside?
Well, this is a better way to protect not only what's inside the barn, but what's inside the house and inside our house.
So here, darling, I'll just take what I essentially need for my essentials and you take the rest.
Yeah. Well, everything would be wonderful if only Sammy would...
All right, Jake. Everything will be all right. Sammy will be all right. If you're hungry, Jake, darling, so you can start. Start eat your liver, Jake, dear.
Who can eat who?
Try. You'll feel better. Rosalie, dear, has the breath of Papa.
When, Molly, when? When will my home be as heretofore? When?
It will be, sir.
Hey, Molly, I came to one conclusion.
Yes?
The best pleasure we will ever have from our children, we already had.
You think so?
Yes, I think so. Indeed, I think so. This is all too much for me, Molly. Too much.
What did you think, Jake? Children were like an insurance policy. You get paid up and then you just sit back and you collect. No, darling.
It's a lifetime, huh? With no dividends.
No unearned dividends, Jake. You only take out what you put in.
When did I fail with Sammy? When? Why am I reaping such bitter oaths? Why?
Who said you failed, Jake?
Does anyone have to say? Can't I see? My son is out for a wonderful picnic today. And with whom? A girl who tried to destroy him, and a mental doctor who is trying to cure him. And if that is failure, then what's success?
It happened to anyone, Jake. Anyone like Sammy, because Sammy has a heart. A stone, Jake, never has trouble with its conscience.
Sammy, who does have a stone now, and not Jacob Goldberg, a father?
But Jake is not a stone. and each without pleasure as his thoughts keep wandering to Sammy and Sammy's future. It is Sammy's future that Dr. Cater is now talking about as he sits with Sammy on the great rise of hills that overlooks Lastonbury Village. Sylvia surprised them both when she said she couldn't marry Sammy because she loved Dr. Cater. The surprise of this statement transformed the whole tone of the afternoon and still lingers over the conversation, although Sylvia herself is down at the spring washing the pigeon marriage reports.
I don't know now, Sammy, whether my picnic is a great success or a great failure.
I guess it all depends on what you expected.
I expected to drive home tonight with two young people who would be friends, about to separate.
At least Sylvia and I are separated. She doesn't want to marry me.
You say that as if your whole life had to be changed.
Doesn't it?
The change would have occurred if the ending had been different. It all depends on what you expect out of life.
Two of the things I didn't expect, Dr. Cater, were that the girl I wanted to marry would cheat me, fool me, and finally try to kill me. And the other was that after all was forgiven and understood, turn around and fall in love with someone else.
She doesn't love me.
She said she did.
She doesn't.
What makes you think so?
The fact that I'm a psychologist?
Oh.
Oh, you're trying to laugh, Sammy?
What you said was real funny.
Why?
You think just because you know why Sylvia fell in love with you, just because patients do with their doctors in cases like this, you think the love isn't real. You can be in love for a million reasons. And each time, what comes out is the real thing.
You could talk like an old Don Juan, and you're not 21 yet.
I am an old Don Juan. I've never had any success with anyone.
Even though this is the first one?
I'd like to say the last.
But you know you shouldn't.
I know I can't. Sylvia's in love with you, Dr. Cater. It may be part of her treatment, but it's happening.
Oh, no. No, Sammy. Sylvia said that for one reason. For one reason only. She now knows that she shouldn't marry you. She knows that you may still like her. She wants you to forget. Ergo, she says she loves someone else. That I'm the only someone else around. In fact, you're the one who put the idea into her mind the other night when you accused me of making her fall in love with me as part of the cure.
Perhaps you didn't intend it.
Not only didn't I intend it, but it didn't happen.
A great doctor can be awfully dull when it comes to his own case.
You don't get the full measure of Sylvia, Sammy. She could be a fine woman if we dug out that disease of the past and exposed it to sunlight.
We're not talking about the past now.
What she said this afternoon was said for you, Sammy.
You mean she made a great sacrifice?
No. No, she merely tried to help you.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe she wants to help you?
Whether she does or not, Dr. Cater, I have been helped. I have a wonderful desire to run back home into my house. And look at the people who have always been decent and honest with me. I want to feel that atmosphere again. The cleanness of it. I want to breathe it again. Oh, I think I've been helped. But I think you need help now because Sylvia's actually truly in love with you.
I think you're misjudging her.
And I think that shrewd as you are, sensitive as you are, experienced and intelligent as you are, Dr. Cater, you've rushed in where all the other angels fear to tread.
No. Where is that?
You should know.
Into the rather ramshackle paradise of Sylvia's heart?
Yes.
Putting Dr. Cater in his own place has given Sammy a new lift. But the question remains, what did Sylvia's confession really mean?